I want you to take your Bibles and go with me this evening very quickly to James chapter number 1. And I mentioned last night that I was going to preach the message that I entitled The Engrafted Word, because the Lord, when I was praying about the conference after Pastor Jerry had contacted me last year and asked me if I would be able to come and check in the calendar. And of course, we're at the Florida house in the winter months. We go down in November, take the car down. We fly back in December for Christmas because the church folks like us to be back for the Christmas holidays and all of that, which goes on. We have a big staff Christmas thing that we do. And then, of course, we have an adult Christmas thing that we do. And, of course, the music and all the rest of it. And then we fly back in January, and then we stay down in the Florida house until the middle part of April, usually. And then we go back, and we're on our way back up home now because we're got to be back by Sunday for our 50th anniversary there at the church. Matter of fact, this afternoon, one of the things I did was a telephone interview with the newspaper that's doing an article up in the Twin Cities on the 50th anniversary at our church. And But I was praying about the conference when he told me that the theme for the year 2009 was abounding in the work of the Lord. And I thought, you know, that's a phenomenal theme, especially in the day and age in which we're living. And I got praying about it and thinking about it, and as I thought about our ministry in Rosemont when we went there, of course, starting with our 17 folks and then watching God, you know, do what he's done over the years. And I thought, out of all of that which we did, what would be foundational that I could preach on to the folks at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Specifically because of your theme that you've chosen. See, when you choose a theme like what you all have chosen, or pastor chose, I assume, for the year 2009, you're not coasting. Say, you're not sitting and soaking. You're standing and serving. See, this is a church that's not sitting and soaking. Most of our Baptist churches are sitting and soaking. They sit and they just soak it up. They just keep soaking it. They're not giving out. And that's a problem. But you folks have got a vision. You've got a pastor that's got a vision. And you folks you've bought into the vision. I mean, when he tells me that you got a building that you all build out here for less than $250,000. And on a square footage basis, I'll guarantee you that building couldn't be built for $1 million if you hired a contractor. On a square footage basis. And yet for less than $250,000, you all built that building. And I've been in a lot of buildings, and I'll tell you what, the bathrooms you got in that building, Lord have mercy. Matter of fact, I looked at that. And the last time I was in Washington, D.C. for a conference, they charged me $250 per night to stay in the Hilton. And they didn't have bathrooms like what you all got. And incidentally, I got a name for your mission house. You ought to call it the Blessed Hope Hilton. I'm serious, preacher. My wife, now she'll probably, honey, now don't get mad at me, okay? I honey, hello. I really love you.
Oh, yes.
My wife, she tested every bed you got in that place. How about them apples, huh? I thought she must think I'm Papa Bear and she's Mama Bear. But they, you all have more. You have more in that house than I think half the city of or the town or whatever you call this place, Jasonville, Indiana has. You all have done just a superb job. It's incredible. And the last time I stayed in a prophet's chamber was in Mason City, Iowa, and I had a roommate. It was a cotton picking mouse that was working all night long. Had a mouse in that puppy, and I'm trying to get to sleep in it. I couldn't believe it. I won't tell you the name of the church, but but anyhow, what I gave you yesterday morning, remember, sounding out the word of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Because as you look at the saints at Thessalonica, they were a people that God used in a wonderful way. And then last night, when we looked at the subject, little foxes, from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, remember how we put that against that great scripture in chapter 15, the book of John, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And remember, we said the fruit was what? The fruit of the Spirit? And the reason that fruit it will be hindered is because of those little foxes. And we gave you those three little foxes that we wanted you to be careful about. Because when you have a church like this, Satan, the devil, the enemy, he will try his best to get little foxes working in a church like this. See, the wrong things we do, the wrong things we say, the wrong things that we think. And that's what's happened to a lot of preachers. That's what's happened to a lot of leaders in churches. With little foxes, they didn't deal with the little foxes, and you don't deal with a little fox, it's going to become a big fox. Now, we're going to look at the third principle tonight, and I'm well aware of the time. I'll give you the outline. But this is a critical message. The message tomorrow night, we're going to look at Proverbs. No, I think we're going to do Job. Let's do Job. We'll do Job tomorrow night. And what prophet? And I'll finish it tomorrow night. But there's a principle in Job as you read through that wonderful book of Job. And it's a principle that I believe that God used at First Baptist Church of Rosemont in our early days, as our people caught a hold of that and caught the significance of it and saw the significance of it in their lives. But tonight we're going to look at the engrafted word, because this is the book that it's all about. This is it. So let's stand for the reading of Scripture very quickly. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll move right along with the message this evening, because I've taken some time to just visit with you here for a little bit, but I have enjoyed myself immensely, and I'm just thankful that Brother Chris preached what he preached tonight, because it was a blessing to my heart. Verse number 18 says, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." That's where I came up with the title that I told you I was going to preach on last night, the engrafted word. Notice, if you will, please, verse 22. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's bow for prayer. Father, we do ask, Lord, that you'd guide and direct now our thoughts and our words as we spend these few moments in the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the first service, for the moving of the Spirit of God in hearts and lives. For the music, Lord, we give you praise. And I pray now that you would help me to be a blessing tonight. Lord, you know my heart. I do want to be a blessing to these dear folks who have taken their time and, God, who have come to the house of God tonight. So we ask that you'd be pleased to meet with us, do a work in hearts, and we'll give you the praise for what you will do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I believe was very, very significant in the ministry, as we saw what God did over those years that I had the privilege of serving there for 35 years, especially those early years, because as Pastor even mentioned in the service yesterday, when he came for the 25th anniversary, and he saw that chart, he mentioned that chart. As he mentioned that chart, if you would look at that chart, you would see that there were significant principles that we were following, that we were obeying, that was responsible for the way that chart went as after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, after 20 years, that there were significant things that we were doing as the Word of God guided and directed us. And one of those principles is what I'm preaching on tonight, because it is critical, it is imperative, it is significant. It's significant that I believe James here would include a section in which he expounds the nature of God's Word and the way in which we are, as believers, are to use that Bible in our daily lives. One of the things that I was able to determine by observing was, and when you only have a few people, you don't have a lot of observation to do. But one of the few things that I noticed in the ministry there was that though the people brought their Bibles and they opened their Bibles, I noticed there was never much note-taking. There was never much writing. There was never much, you know, sort of writing down a statement or putting down, even if it was a funny story. They just sort of sat there and listened. And to me, that's an indication. That's an indication that they are not totally aware of what is the purpose and the value of this book to them individually. And that's why most churches struggle with growth, because most Christians in churches do not read their Bible on a regular basis. They do not read their Bible daily. And yet, in this passage of Scripture, what the Scripture is telling us here, beloved, it is absolutely imperative that we read our Bibles regularly. We read our Bibles daily. Since I became pastor emeritus in 2002, I have, because I wasn't preparing sermons and I wasn't preparing, you know, Sunday school lessons and all the rest of that, I didn't want to lose my connection with the Word of God. I didn't want to lose my thirst for the Scripture. I didn't want to lose that which had led and guided and directed my life for those years that, you know, I had prepared for ministry and I was involved in ministry. So I set out to read, and I do read the Bible through every 6 months. And here's the interesting thing that I have found. I am learning more about the Bible today than I learned during my ministry. It's absolutely incredible what I am seeing God do in my life through the Word of God. Though I read it daily, I mean, I studied it for hours and hours every week, because one of the things I did not do, I did not preach old sermons. My folks heard a new sermon Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Once in a while, I'd preach as an older sermon. Once in a while. The folks, I could preach Little Foxes Spoil the Vines every 6 months, and our folks would, because that was one of the messages that everybody knew. Matter of fact, they would come and say, "When are you going to preach Little Foxes again?" And my classic statement used to be, "Well, when you start doing what the Scripture says you're supposed to do." But the Word of God is vital. It's imperative. And if you're going to abound in the work of the Lord, you're going to have to understand that it's through this book that you will accomplish that. And so consequently, what the book says you need to do in relationship to the Word is very, very important and very vital. It's imperative. Now, I've often said that we need to study the Bible historically, and we need to study it grammatically, and we need to study it, you know, logically as well, though. We need to study it spiritually. We need to see what does this book have for us as a child of God. And this scripture that we're looking at tonight is a very, very significant passage of scripture that expounds the nature of the Word of God. It tells us which we as believers need to understand how we're to use this book. That God doesn't give us this book just to read it and then to put it on a shelf. He gives us this book to where we use it. We use it in our lives for His honor and for His glory. And so I want us to notice tonight a couple of thoughts that I put down some time ago now that I trust will be a help and a blessing to you as you continue to seek to abound in the work of the Lord. Because it'll definitely help you if you will do it. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, here how James describes the Word of God. Notice verse 18, if you will. Because he says in verse 18, notice there the statement, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth." Do you see that? I've got that underlined in my Bible. Because the word "the" is a definite article in our English language. And this Bible, my King James Bible, is the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God in our English Bible. And it's a definite article. And it says here, that is the Word of God. See? The word truth shows us. It shows me, it should show us that it is the whole of God's verbal communication with man who needs the Word. And so we'd be foolish not to realize and to see and to understand the significance that should be in our lives as a child of God. I want you to notice another thought here, though. Look at verse 21. Because he says in verse 21, he says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the ingrafted word." Now notice again the definite article there. The. Jump down to verse 25. Look at what he says. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." There's that definite article again. The. And when he speaks there of the perfect law of liberty, you need to remind yourself of the fact that when he says that, that uses that word perfect, that tells us that the author is perfect. There's no errors in this book. None. None. It's perfect. Then he uses and he says the perfect law. That tells us that the Word is to be our rule of life. This is what's going to guide me. This is what's going to direct me. This is what's going to direct you. It's the perfect law. But then notice, because this is the one that really thrills my soul, because he says, the perfect law of liberty, and continue it therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Because if we will understand that it is the perfect law of God, it's the perfect law, though, of liberty. When we do what the Bible says we should do, it's going to free us to serve the Lord. It's going to free us to abound in the work of the Lord. This Bible is critical to you as a child of God. It's just not for the preacher. It's just not for the Sunday school teacher, you know. It's for every blood-bought child of God, as we were reminded of tonight, even in special music, because there is power in that blood. Now notice something else very quickly. Because the scripture here tells us in this passage that we've looked at, it tells us that the Word of God is the instrument the Holy Spirit uses to perfect that miracle of regeneration. It's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's preach the Word. You're not going to get saved unless the Word of God is preached and proclaimed. My story, oh, don't worry about that. There's no kid I can't out-preach. Bless her. Don't you spank her. No, oh, I shouldn't say that. That's the grandpa coming out of me. I wail the fire out of my kids, and then I fuss at them now when they want to discipline my grandbabies. Meanies. Our second child is, well, our first two are girls, our second two are boys. And our Sarah, the second one, boy, I'll tell you what, she had a will of her mother. Honey, how many times did I take her out one service at First Baptist Westwood? Was it three or four times? I took that little child out, and we had an educational meeting, and I set her back down, brought her back in. They had nursery through three-year-olds, and she'd wiggle and all the rest of it, you know. So we brought them into the church service on Sunday night when they were three, so we could kind of train them, because we hadn't surrendered to them. I was working for Southern Bell Telephone Company, and I took her out, and I, you know, we had a meeting, and I brought her in, sat her down. And 5 minutes later, that little stinker, she's doing the same thing. I'll pick her up and take her back out. She wore me out, trying to get her to do right. But I'll tell you, since you become this thing called grandpa. Matter of fact, I said this across America. If I knew having grandkids was so wonderful, I'd have had them before I had the kids. But anyhow, it's the Word of God that is going to bring, that's going to bring folks to faith in Christ. And so it's the Word that is the regenerating medium the Holy Spirit uses to effect the new birth. So if you're going to abound in the work of the Lord, you got to understand that. You got to understand it's not going to be your funny story, or it's not going to be, you know, talking about the weather or the wind or the sports or whatever it is that's going to bring people to Christ. When you're visiting with them, you're knocking on their doors, you got to get the Word to them. And in order to get the Word to them, you got to know the Word. That's why most people don't want to go soul winning. They don't know their Bible. And so they're scared to death. See, how do you know that? Because I've been there. That's how I know it. I wasn't raised in a church. When I got saved at the age of 20, what I knew about the Bible, you could put in a thimble and have room left over. When I got into an independent Baptist church, and the preacher said, now if you're saved and you know the Lord and you love the Lord, you're going to go soul winning. Well, I said, I'm saved and I love the Lord, and I'll go soul winning. So I'd go and I'd pray that they weren't home when I'd go. Don't laugh at me. You've done the same thing, bless God. I'm just being honest. You got to know the Bible. You got to know the Word of God. And that's what the scripture is telling us here. Verse number 18 is very clear. You don't need to be a Bible professor to understand what that Bible is saying in that 18th verse. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. But I want to jump down to verse 21 and verse 22, because here's the third thing that you'll see there very quickly as we study this passage of scripture. Because when we read or hear the word of God, We're to receive its truth, and notice this, with humility, and we're to apply the teachings to our lives. Because he says in verse 21, he says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, for which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It's real easy to hear the word of God, to agree with it, but it's another thing to perform it. There's another. That's a total horse of a different color. And so you jump down to verse number 23 through verse number 25, and you'll see there that the word of God is to be used as a mirror. It's to be used as a mirror to show us our true state here, that we are to adjust our lives accordingly. See, it's when you read the word of God and you study the word of God that the Spirit of God starts pointing at you. He starts showing you what needs to be corrected. He starts showing you what needs to be changed. And it's interesting here how James puts it. Because you look at verse 23, he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." It's a simile that he's using there. He's actually employing a simile. Because what he's saying is, if a man is looking at his face in the mirror and he sees that his face is dirty, and he says, "Well, look at there, my face is dirty," but he does absolutely nothing about it, then what in the world did he look at the mirror for in the first place? You use the mirror to see if there's anything that needs to be changed, and if it needs to be changed, you change it. So you read the word of God, and when God says something needs to be changed, you change it. That's what the word of God, it's the child of God using it. And the reason that most churches don't grow is because the saints in the church are not using the word of God as they should use it. They're not using it. See, the preacher, and God bless your preacher, he's got one life. He's got one day. He's one man. That's the bottom line. He's got one wife. He's got the children. He's got his deacons. He's got Sunday school teachers. He's got bus workers. And the more people that he can bring into the ministry through the preaching of the Word of God is going to greatly depend on how the people of that ministry bring those people under the sound of the gospel. And you ask this man sitting right over here, who preaches a lot of revivals, missions conferences, he sees the same thing I see. Can you right now recall in your mind a meeting you had just recently where there were no visitors in that meeting when the pastor said, "Is there any visitors here?" Sure you can. Doesn't happen. See, back when I was first saved, August 17th, 1952, it was a total different world that we lived in. I lived at home for 22 years. I got married in 1954. I grew up in a home that never had a TV. We didn't have a TV. I can remember in 1947... when I snuck into a bar and hid myself so I could watch a little 6-inch TV and watch a ball game. That was just absolutely amazing to me, that here was a team called the Brooklyn Dodgers playing the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm watching it on this little box. It was incredible. My dad found out it, and I was incredible. I I only did it once. You say, why? Well, my daddy didn't raise any dumb boys. I told you that yesterday. If he did, it's one of those three ignorant brothers of mine. No, see, it was a total different story. People came to church to just visit, to see people, to meet with people. Today, you've got all kind of going on from early in the morning. Up in the country where I live, in the Twin Cities, you can go out at 6 o'clock. Ellie can be taking me to the airport at 5 o'clock in the morning to catch a plane, and there's cars all over the place. There's women driving their little babies in car seats to the nurseries, to the daycare centers, to drop their kid off to spend 6-12 hours there while they go to work. That didn't happen when I was a kid. She stayed when she started bearing our children. We got married in 54. Our first child was born in 57. When she worked at Southern Bell Telephone Company, where I worked, though we met at church. Well, when she was 7 months pregnant, the company said, you have to take your leave of absence for pregnancy. She took her leave of absence and never went back to work. She stayed home. She was taking care of the kids. When we bought our new home, that you went out there in South Florida, and that new home where we lived in Westwood Lake, you could look down the whole easement behind those houses, new houses on this, and the new houses here, and the easement here. You go down, and all you saw diapers on the line. Everybody was, there was all young couples there, and all young couples were having kids. And they didn't have all this Pampers and all this stuff that they got today. You had diapers. That's why I didn't do too much changing of them, but that's another story. But we don't live in that day anymore, folks. We live in a day and age where people don't just come to church. And if you can't reach them in the home, the least you can do is what Pastor was asking yesterday. You invite them to come. Get them under the sound of the Word of God. And that's what this is telling us. This is what it's talking about. And you cannot convince me in 100 years that when the child of God reads the Word of God and sees what God says our responsibility and obligation would be as a child of God to bring people to faith in Christ, that the Spirit of God is not going to speak to the heart of the blood-bought child of God and say, you need to get involved in that program. God just doesn't call some to be a witness for Christ. He said, ye are my witnesses. And the more you can get witnessing for Jesus, the more you're going to see the work abound. Just that simple. And that's what the Bible is telling us here. But notice when we hear the Word of God, it says here, and we receive it with meekness, we use that mirror and adjust our lives accordingly, we will see blessings be the result along the way. Because the last part of that verse says in verse 25, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The secret to First Baptist Church was we just simply started multiplying our army. When I first went there, the first 18 months, we had Thursday night visitation and soul winning. The first 18 months, the only individual that went with me soul winning was that girl right down there. When we could afford the 25 cents an hour to pay Audrey Hermy, who babysat our children. 18 months. Finally, one of my deacons, old Brother Shirley Kester, he got up enough courage where he came with me one time. The bug bit him. I can remember one time, the bulletin said, the ladies' missionary fellowship will meet on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. When I went there, I told them Thursday would be visitation and soul winning. Nothing conflicts with visitation and soul winning. Just like nothing conflicts with Wednesday night. Amen. Nothing conflicts with Sunday. Amen. Nothing. Amen. I saw that bulletin. I didn't know how it got in there. Shirley Bicey, who incidentally is still in the church, Cyril. She's in her 80s now. She's not well. She's suffering with cancer. Matter of fact, I just got a call or an email from Jenny. And she told me, she said, Mother has made a decision, no more chemo. She's ready to go to be with the Lord. But the president of the WMF, she had called Mrs. Bicey and told her she wanted that announcement in the bulletin. She was doing the bulletins. I got the bulletin, and I looked at the bulletin. I said, what in the world is this? WMF meeting Thursday night. So I called her up on the telephone. I said, well, I won't call her by name. And, well, I will call her by name. I said, Mrs. Osmond. I said, I noticed there's an announcement in the bulletin that says a WMF meeting on Thursday night. I said, that'll have to be changed. She said, well, why? I said, well, that's visitation and soul winning. And she says, well, none of us come to that. I said, well, I know that because I'm there and you all are not. But I said you need to understand that there's no conflicting ministry on Thursday night. And I said, when I came, I said that very clearly to our deacons. There was two men that were deacons. And I said, they agreed to that. And so I said, if you want, I'll call them to see if they've changed their mind. But I said, that's not going to happen if I'm going to stay here as pastor. Well, she said, well, if you're going to say that, we'll change it. Well, that's fine. I'm the pastor. And incidentally, if you've got a pastor like that, you thank God for that. You don't have a hireling, then you got a man of God behind the pulpit. And one of our problems, and we got this in our ministry, and my brother, you as old as I am, you know this to be true. We got a bunch of hirelings in pulpits all across this country. And that's why our nation's going to hell. I'm not doing what I'm doing at the age of 77 for myself. But I got four kids and I got 11 grandkids and I love this country and I love the kids that I pastored for 35 years and I'm not quitting. We need to get God's people in this book on a daily basis using it as a mirror. And when God says change it, we need to change it. Let's bow our heads. If I was to take one verse of scripture from the Word of God to sum up this message, I would choose Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Because that one verse says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's be honest with God tonight. Brother Chris hit the nail on the head when he preached what he preached this evening. As the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart through these few hours we spent together, as Pastor comes and leads the invitation as I always like, he's your pastor, you're his people, he knows you, he loves you. I trust you to be obedient to the leadership of the Spirit of God tonight. Some of you here this evening, you need to walk down this aisle tonight and ask God, Lord, forgive me for not reading my Bible daily. And I'm asking you, God, to help me. To help me to read my scripture daily. Help me, Father, to use it as a mirror. And then help me to be obedient when changes are needed and necessary. That God, you'll give me the grace and you'll give me the strength to do it. That I might be a part of your army that's abounding in the work of the Lord.